Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Now, the greatest radio shows of all time.
Suspense.
The Shadow Node.
Washington's calling David Harding, counter-spy.
Classic Radio Theater.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Dragnet. Gunsmoke.
The Lone Ranger.
Now, step back into our time machine with your host, Wyatt Cox.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
Another show owned and produced by Alan Ladd's Mayfair Productions, John Brown starring as Broadway in this episode of the Damon Runyon Theater, featuring some of Damon Runyon's best stories. This episode, entitled The Bloodhounds of Broadway, originally broadcast July 17, 1949.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, The Bloodhounds of Broadway. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. You know, at 4 a.m. along the main stem, one is apt to see many peculiar things. For example, it is about that time I am standing in front of Mindy's with Regret the Horse Player. We are talking of things, mostly nothing, when we hear something happening at the curb.
Oh, please, is this a nightcap?
I said no.
It's early. It's only 4.
It is too late as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Clay. Good night.
Oh, no, wait a minute, baby.
I said good night.
I guess she says good night, Broadway.
She does it with a great deal of gusto.
I do not blame her in the least.
Regret, who is the citizen she does not wish any more part of?
Him? That is Marvin Clay. You know him.
Oh, yeah. He has plenty of scratch.
Yeah, from his father. Yeah, there is a guy like Marvin Clay who is loaded. Here is a guy like me who is the opposite.
Will you take his money if you have to be him?
That is something I do not care to offer an opinion on right now. Holy mackerel, Broadway, look at what is coming down this way.
From where I am standing, it looks like a citizen leading 2 ponies.
Broadway, those things are dogs.
Dogs? I never see dogs that big. It must be Glandula with them.
Now, what do you suppose that strange-looking character is doing with dogs this hour of the morning?
Well, we get our answer to that in a couple of seconds. Also, what happens with the dogs and Regret and Marvin Clay is more than somewhat interesting, because it includes the gendarmes, a shooting, and something that is strange indeed.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Bloodhounds of Broadway.
Well, like I am saying, Regret spots the dogs and the character who leads them with 2 long ropes. They get up to us, and Regret says as follows.
Hi there.
Me? You talking to me?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Hi.
Well, one thing about being up this early in the morning, the conversations are not long and dull.
So long.
Hey, wait a minute.
Me?
Yeah, you. What are those dogs you have got there?
Mine.
Yeah, well, what kind are they?
Bloodhounds.
They have got ears like bedsheets.
How old are they?
Coming on 3. The yaller one's Nip and the brown one's Tuck.
Ah, 3 years old, huh? What's the matter with them?
Nothing. Why?
Well, they are very wrinkled. Nip there especially. He looks like he has many things on his mind.
Yep. That's Tuck.
How are you, Tuck?
Why does he make that noise, huh?
He smells food. He ain't eating 2 days.
Well, then get him away from my legs.
Nip's hungry, too. Come to think of it, so am I.
Wait a minute. Wait, you mean these poor animals do not eat for 2 days?
That's the size and parcel of it, mister.
I do not like to see animals suffer. What do they eat?
Tain't particular. Long as it'll taste something like food.
Nip is looking at me. I do not like that.
Won't hurt you none, mister. Lesson you done something. They is man-tracking bloodhounds. Follow a man from one end of earth to other.
How do you like that? Gendons with fleas.
Tell you what. I do not like to see animals suffer. Now you bring them in, Mindy's, and I will set them up to some food.
I'm hungry, too.
Okay. Come on.
Hey, wait a minute, Regret. You are not figuring to take them Shetland ponies and Mindy's.
Well, why not? Guess it won't hurt them. Come on.
Several sirloin steaks later, plus borscht, goulash, soup, and various other articles of food, John Wangle, it turns out this is the citizen's name, wipes his mouth on his sleeve and settles back. Nip and Tuck are full too, and are now sleeping with their ears over their eyes. Wangle tells us how he happens to be in New York with man-tracking bloodhounds from Georgia.
Well, mister, I brung Nip and Tuck north with old-time Uncle Tom's Cabin show. Show went plumb bust, and me and the dogs did too. First meal I had in 2 days.
Why do you not go back to Georgia?
Got no money.
Well, do you ever think of selling the dogs?
Sell Nip and Tuck? Not on your life, mister. They is the finest man-tracking hounds in the country.
Is there very much of a market for that work?
Nope.
Is there nobody you are able to write to? A relative?
Well, yep, my uncle's a sheriff. But I can't write.
Oh.
Come to think of it, wouldn't do me no good to write him anyway.
Why not?
He can't read.
I see. Well, what do you plan to do, Mr. Wangle?
I don't know. Make out best I can, I reckon.
Yeah, I hate to see animals suffer. Tell you what, Mr. Wangle, you drop by here now and then. I'll take care of the food.
That's right nice of you, mister. Maybe me and the dogs will be able to pay you back someday. That's Nip. Dreaming again. Dreaming of tracking somebody down.
Hi, and then Nip. Nice.
Mister, if you ever need anybody tracked down, just call on me and Nip and Tuck. We'll find whoever you want, no matter where.
Uh-huh. Meantime, where do you live?
Well, we've been staying at a public park north of here, but seeing as how Mr. Regret has taken an interest, I figure maybe moving in closer to town will be just about right.
So, Regret, because he is very soft-hearted about animals, takes the bloodhounds under his wing. But it seems that now he has to take the grub out on the sidewalk because Mindy objects. Naturally, Nip and Tuck grow very fond of Regret. So does John Wangle, because all three of them are beginning to fat up very nicely. In fact, in several days, the bloodhounds' ribs become practically invisible, where before they stick out like bones on a well-picked heron. Then, it comes up one night, and I am with Regret in the 300 Club, where the scene is as follows.
Now I ask you, Broadway, this is the life, huh?
It is all right.
Wonderful music, beautiful dolls.
Yeah, speaking of dolls, is that not Miss Lovey Lou sitting over there?
Huh? Yeah, it is. And soak me for a herring if she is not with Marvin Clay. Broadway, it frightens me when I think of a very nice star like Lovey Lou being with a heel like Marvin Clay.
Well, he is a very well-heeled heel. Miss Lovey Lou is not one to overlook fine points like that.
I will thank you not to talk about Lovey in that manner.
Oh, it seems like you take an interest in her.
I am interested, yes. I am interested. What is happening over there?
It seems to me that Marvin Clay wants to dance without getting up.
Why, dirty... I'm going to put a stop to it.
It is none of your business, Regret.
I'll make it mine.
Do not be a sap.
I'm going to smash his ever-loving face into pieces. Come on.
Regret, do not bother yourself.
It is no bother. It is more like a prank.
You will be bounced out of here.
Please behave yourself.
Take your hands off Miss Lovey Lou.
Ah, who the devil are you?
Take your hands off her.
That's what I keep telling you.
I will give you a split second to unhand her.
Go away, you idiot.
Mr. Clay, I am going to unhinge your head from the rest of you.
You dare? I'll have you thrown into jail so fast.
You asked for it, Mr. Clay.
I'll get you with it, you tout.
Get up and get out of here, fast. Go on.
You heard what the man said. Beat it.
You hear about this?
Come on, Lovey.
I'll be low. It's all right, everyone. Just a little accident. That is all.
Regret? That was wonderful.
Oh, it is nothing, lovey. Any time at all.
Regret? I think you are in trouble.
Me? Why?
Marvin Clay is not the kind of a citizen who will take this laying down.
Then I will see that he lays down. Meanwhile, I have a dance with Miss Lovey Lou. How about it, lovey?
I think that'll be just lovey.
It will be just lovey, she says. And it is. It seems Regret falls for Miss Lovey Lou. And for the next week, he sees a great deal of her. In fact, he cannot miss, because she is in the floor show at the 300 Club, and one is able to see a great deal of all the dolls there. Anyway, it seems he forgets all about John Wangle and Nip and Tuck for some days. Then it comes up one morning, and I am again standing in front of Mindy's at about 4 a.m., and I see somebody coming toward me. And who is it but a police inspector by the name of McNamara? And he says to me...
Ah, morning, Broadway.
Good morning, Mac. What brings you out before the sun?
Trouble, trouble, nothing but trouble.
What is this particular trouble?
Looking for a friend of yours.
That gives you trouble?
In this case, yeah. Broadway, where's Regret?
Regret? Why, I do not see him for almost a week. In fact, it is about a week.
Sure?
Sure.
Well, I guess you're telling the truth.
Is there any particular reason you are out this early looking for Regret?
Well, yeah, I guess you could call it a particular reason.
I see. Like I say, I do not see him.
Yeah, like you say. Guess I gotta tramp all over town to get him.
Oh, he could be in any one of several hundred places. But you do not yet tell me why you look for him.
You know Marvin Clay?
I hear of him, yeah. But I am not on speaking terms.
Have a fight?
No, I just do not know him well enough.
I see. How about Regret?
Regret?
You remember Regret. We just talked about him a couple of seconds ago.
What about him? And Marvin Clay?
Well, it seems that Regret and Clay had a few words about a week ago. And from what I heard, Regret gave Clay five fingers in a knot.
So?
So about an hour ago, I got a call to see a man who was shot.
Shot? With a gun?
It seems reasonable to draw that conclusion. Seeing as how there were some holes in Mr. Marvin Clay.
Clay? And Regret?
I got to ask Regret a few questions, and I do... What is a steamboat doing up this far?
Those are dogs. Bloodhounds.
Cats, look at the size of them.
Morning, Broadway. Take it easy, Nip, now. Settle down, Tuck. Settle down.
Get those horses off the side.
Yeah, you better run along, Wangle.
He ain't here again, huh?
No, he is not here, but he will be later. No, run along. Here, take this bob and buy something.
We sure miss Regret.
Regret? Regret the horse player?
Best friend man a dog ever had.
Wait a minute. You know Regret?
Just slightly, Inspector. The dogs have a sniff in the quaint.
Shut up, Broadway. You, what's your name?
Wangle. Why?
These are bloodhounds, aren't they?
Best man trackers in the whole world.
Yeah. Well, now run along, Wangle.
I told you to shut up. Wangle, these dogs know Regret pretty well.
Why, I reckon Nip and Tuck could sniff out Regret from all the people in the whole world.
Suppose Regret had been someplace and had gone. Could these dogs track him down?
Mister, even if the trail's more than a day old, they can do it.
Okay, here's where I save some legwork. Come along.
Where to?
You want to find Regret, right?
Wangle, do not listen.
Shut
to
up.
This.
How about it, Wangle?
Mister... You could just show Nip and Tuck where Regret was last, and they'll get to him in no time at all.
So, that is that. I figure Regret is cooked. And what comes after is something that the main stand will never forget. And how it ends is quite a story, which I will tell you in a minute.
July 17th, 1949, the Damon Runyon Theater on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their health care, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's health care bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in health care sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. Bible, 833-34-BIBLE.
No offense, but are you a little fat when you look in the mirror? How would you like to learn the secrets to lose 3 to 5 pounds a week easily without joining the gym or going through any crazy diets? It's called Body Sculpt by Med Diet. For the last 2 decades, we've been helping people just like you that have pounds they want to shed. We've helped millions of people lose thousands and thousands of pounds over the years. And now it's your turn. Learn the secrets of how to lose weight with one simple phone call. You'll see an amazing difference in a matter of days. Don't believe us. We'll offer you a money-back guarantee. If you're ready to start losing weight right now, call right now to learn more about your risk-free order to Body Sculpt.
Call for your risk-free offer. 800-738-5332. 800-738-5332. 800-738-5332. That's 800-738-5332.
Are you in bad pain? You know what I mean. Your knees hurt. Your shoulder hurts. Your elbow and back are constantly killing you. And I'm sure you've tried every pain pill or cream available at the drugstore. Am I right? Well, here's something you haven't tried. Pain Magic. Pain Magic is not available at any drugstore. The only place you can get it is by calling the special toll-free number I'm about to give you.
And to make things even better, call right now and find out about our buy one, get one free offer. We're so confident it'll work for you that we offer a free bottle with your purchase. No prescription required.
Call now to learn how you can get Pain Magic and get rid of your pain. Remember, your results may vary.
800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. 800-492-8164. That's 800-492-8164.
Damon Runyon, a newspaper man, primarily a sports writer, did a column, and also a short story writer. Runyon dying in New York City from throat cancer at age 66 in 1946. His ashes scattered from a DC-3 airplane over Broadway in Manhattan by Eddie Rickenbacker on December 18, 1946, which was against the law, but most people approved of that. After his death, his friend and fellow journalist Walter Winchell went on the air, appealed for contribution to help fight cancer, eventually establishing the Damon Runyon Cancer Memorial Fund to support scientific researches into the causes and prevention of cancer. And in fact, the Damon Runyon Cancer Research Foundation, still active to this day, at damonrunyon.org. Now back to the Damon Runyon Theater, July 17th, 1949.
And now back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Bloodhounds of Broadway.
Well, there we go, off into the cold gray morning. McNamara has it no other way than I go alone. I do not know why, but there I am at 4:15 a.m., tearing along behind Nip and Tuck, who are taken to the scene of the shooting. They sniff around, then both of them put out about a yard of tongue, dig in, and the next thing I know, we are a sight to behold indeed. Nip and Tuck are leading. Behind them is John Wangle holding the lead ropes. Then comes Inspector McNamara, and then me, followed by 10 gendarmes.
Slow down a little.
Mister, when Nip and Tuck are after somebody, they go like grease lightning.
Poor regret. And after all he does for those flea circuses.
Yeah, saves me plenty of legwork. Wango, sure those dogs are going in the right direction.
right direction?
Mister, they ain't never made no mistake in their whole life. If Mr. Regret went this way, they know it.
If it is all the same to you, Mac, I will get off here.
You're going along, Broadway. You're going to help me find...
Hey, they stop, mister. This is where Mr. Regret is.
There's nothing but an old garage.
Can't have it, mister. Nip and Tuck know this is where he is.
Quiet him down.
Sure, Nip, Tuck. Quiet now. Easy now. Easy.
What is Regret doing in this old garage?
What do you think? Hiding out. Boys, spread out. Kelly, Rabinowitz, get around to the back. Burton, take three men and cover the sides of this place. Rest of you, back me up when I go in the front here.
Where do you want me, Mac? Home?
Keep off to one side. Regret's got a rod. Now, careful, boys. You're going in after a desperate man. All right. Take off. Okay. Here we go, boys. Wolf, kick open that door. If it ain't open, shoot it open.
All right, Regret, get covered. Drop the gun. Stand where you are. Stand still, every last man of you.
Well, well, well. A crap game. Maybe you guys ain't read the law about it.
But where is Regret?
Mister, Nip and Tuck want to get going again. Mr. Regret ain't here, but he was.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go in a minute. First, I want to take down some names of certain citizens who are breaking the law by shooting craps. Line up. Line up and give your right names.
McNamara makes this haul, and we take off again with Nip and Tuck leading the way. They make stop after stop. By this time, there is quite a crowd following, because it is by no means a usual thing to see a troop of gendarmes chasing after two bloodhounds who have got their bellies close to the pavement. Every now and then, the dogs let loose with those loud wails, and the result is a lot of citizens hurt themselves leaping from windows and fire escapes, figuring somebody's after them. Then Nip and Tuck make another stop, and the scene is as follows.
Look, Wangle, this is the 18th stop we've made. Where is Regret?
I can't help it, mister. Every place Nip and Tuck stopped, Regret was there.
He is quite busy. So far, we break up three crap games, two poker parties, various and sundry other illegal enterprises, and etc. Wangle, these dogs are nothing but stool pigeons.
I can't help it, Mr. Broadway. I go where Nip and Tuck go.
All right, Wangle. We'll try this joint.
Hey, wait a minute. This is no joint. This is where Miss Maud Milligan lives.
So?
She is Big Sam's friend. And I wish no part of being any place that Big Sam might be.
We're going in. All right, boys. Once more. This may be it. Spread out.
Your gendarmes are becoming pretty tired, man.
Oh, shut up. All right, Wolf. Give the buzzer a punch.
Yeah, who is it?
Open up, Maud. Inspector McNamara.
Hey, what's the idea? Waking me up in the middle of the night.
Open up or we'll break the door in. Take that chain off. Ready, boys. All right, Wangle, let him loose.
Elephants!
Wangle, quiet him down.
Get
him
quiet. Talk down now, down. Settle down, boys.
But those ain't no things to scare a girl with at 5 in the morning. You get him out of here.
Where is he, Maud?
You get him out. Huh? Who?
Quit stalling. I want Regret.
Are you kidding? Oh, I ain't heard nothing like that in my whole life. And he's looking at me.
Listen, Maud, I want Regret.
Yes, he ain't here either, mister.
What? Mr. Wangle?
I can't help it. But they want to get going. Come on.
Well, then you let them. And you, McNamara, I'm going to see my alderman, the mayor, and maybe the governor about this.
Now,
you've got no right breaking in here and making a zoo out of my apartment.
Look,
I'm going to sue you. I'll have you thrown off the force. I'll see the newspaper boys and tell them how you go around with... Will somebody tell me what they are?
Bloodhounds, Maud.
The Bloodhounds of Broadway, July 17, 1949, an episode of the Damon Runyon Theater, here on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, the conclusion after these words.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. An estimated 70 million Americans are still coping with extreme heat. Forecasters say the blistering heat wave is expected to continue next week as a high pressure dome from Texas moves westward. Search and recovery efforts continue in Pennsylvania, where five people were killed and two children are still missing after flash flooding in the Philadelphia area. The National Weather Service says more than 4.5 inches of rain fell in just 2 hours Saturday evening. Former President Trump says there are some good people running against him for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination. Speaking on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures, the former president acknowledged some of the Republican candidates could have a role in his administration if he's elected. It took almost 5 hours for Carlos Alcaraz to end the reign of Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon, winning a five-set thriller. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, the conclusion of the Damon Runyon Theater and the Bloodhounds of Broadway, July 17th of 1949.
Well, I ain't Eliza and I ain't never been an ice skater. Now get up.
All right, Maud, all right. Don't get sore. Just a mistake.
Well, don't you ever make another one like it.
Well, McNamara gets up. So do Nip and Tuck. By this time, McNamara is no dog lover, and I know he never will be. But he gives Wangle one more chance to find regret or get thrown in the tank for obstructing justice. So off we go again, and we end up at the Club 300. And this time, it is the end of the trail, because sitting over the table with Miss Lovey Lou is nobody but regret. Nip and Tuck take one look, and before anybody knows what happens, they are across the floor and practically in his lap, licking his face. Mac is right after them.
There he is, Bart. Get him.
Hey, what is going on?
Wait, call him off. Get him away from me.
And all this comes from being kind to animals.
Oh, get too far. He's insane.
Wango, get him away from him. Get him away. Oh, I'm alive. I'm sitting alive and crying. Wango, do something. I can't see regret. Get him.
If you are able to think of how I can stop 11 coppers, do so now or forever hold your peace.
It's all my fault. It's all my fault.
Maybe so, but it is too late to think about it now.
You don't understand, Broadway. Regret didn't shoot Marvin Clay, I did.
Oh, sure. Huh? Listen, come over away from this real fast. Come on. Now, what is this you say?
It's true. He's a heel.
Maybe so, but there is a law against shooting even heels.
What'll they do to Regret?
Does Regret know you shoot Clay?
What'll they do to Regret?
What do you say?
Broadway, it was an accident. I swear it was an accident. I found out it was going out with my baby sister.
I never know you had one.
I do. I went to see Marvin Clay. He laughed. He took a gun out of a drawer and said I had to get out. And I got mad. I slapped him and there was a fight. The gun went off.
Yeah, I see. But what about Regret?
Well, I'll tell him what really happened. Well,
you better hurry up before one of two things happens. Either he is taken to the pokey or he is swallowed by those dogs. Later, they untangle Regret from Nip and Tuck. By this time, he is pretty done in. But Wango says the dogs are just playing. Now, this is not the end of the story. In fact, there is quite a bit more. Well, like I say, Regret is untangled from the dog. McNamara arrests him, but Miss Lovey Lou comes forward with her story. The upshot is the whole bunch are taken to headquarters, including me. Well, of course, I am released because I am just an innocent bystander. Well, it is 2 days after all this that I am sitting in Mindy's when in comes Regret, all dressed up, and he has two suitcases with him. He sits down and says...
Hello, Broadway.
Regret, I am glad to see you.
I am leaving town, Broadway.
I see you are carrying suitcases, and it seems to me you look more than somewhat nervous.
I'm just killing time before I leave.
How does the whole thing turn out, Regret?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I hear that Marvin Clay is not dead. Also that he does not prosecute Miss Lovey Lou.
Yeah, that is correct. Because he does not want unfavorable publicity.
Sure, sure. By the way, what becomes of Wangle and Nip and Tuck?
Oh, they are ingrates. But they are sent back to Georgia. It seems some of the boys take up a collection which sets them up for life. Because they are very dangerous to have around here. They get plenty of people in trouble the night they look for me.
Yeah, they do. I can see why certain citizens would rather take chances with the gendarmes than with Nip and Tuck.
Exactly. So, I am leaving town for a while.
Uh-huh. You and Miss Lovey Lou are going on a honeymoon?
Uh-uh. I am through with Miss Lovey Lou.
What? But she saves you from trouble. You know she does not have to say anything. You are the logical suspect for the gendarmes to collar, and it would be tough for you.
I know. But I do not like to be married to any doll who handles a rascal, even by accident. Think what would happen.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But then, why are you leaving town?
Broadway, what is the last stop Nip and Tuck make before they find me?
Crab cane, the poker... Oh, Maud Milligan's place.
Uh-huh. Well, Big Sam is out of town at the time. But I hear he is coming back. Now, I am going to leave town for a while because maybe if he hears about Nip and Tuck going to Maud's place, Big Sam might get the wrong idea. Goodbye, Broadway.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, The Bloodhounds of Broadway. Listen in again next week for... The Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Karstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
July 17, 1949, the Damon Runyon Theater on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
Are you suffering with arthritis or osteoporosis? Do you have diabetes?
Did you know that these were just two of the hundreds of diseases that have seen improvement with Dr. Wallach's incredible longevity products? You can't get them at a health food store. The only way to get them is to call us at 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065. Do you have heart disease, fibromyalgia, or high blood pressure? Do you have a terrible time losing weight? Dr. Wallach can help. He was a veterinarian and cured diseases in animals. He felt that he could do the same for humans, so he became a physician. Over 50 years of research and helping people like you goes into every bottle of Dr. Wallach's amazing discoveries. Do you want to feel better? Learn how to treat the cause of your problem rather than covering up the symptoms with drugs. Call 800-214-0065. That's 800-214-0065.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox, part two of the five-part Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar story, the star of Cape Town Matter. This originally broadcast July 17th, 1956.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Lieutenant Van Tile of the Cape Town Police, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, yeah, Lieutenant, I've been trying to get you. Anything new on the Forbes murder?
I'm afraid not.
How about the diamond?
It's still missing.
Oh, so far we're batting zero. Any suspects?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Who is it?
Not it, Mr. Dollar. They.
What do you mean, Lieutenant?
How many guests would you say were at Andrew Forbes' party last evening?
60.
Then we have 60 suspects.
Oh, great.
And every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Cape Town, South Africa, to the Home Office Tri-Eastern Indemnity Associates. Assignment, the star of Cape Town Matter. Expense account continued. Item 7, cab fare from my hotel to police headquarters. So far in this job, I've been a big, brilliant nothing. I figured Lieutenant Van Tile of the Cape Town Police might be able to supply a few answers. But as it turned out, all he had on his mind was questions.
Now, Mr. Dollar, suppose you sit down and explain your connection with this affair.
Sure, Lieutenant. I can make it short, if not sweet. Andrew Forbes was an international playboy.
I am well aware of that. Cape Town has entertained Mr. Forbes before, or vice versa.
Well, then you probably also know that he recently inherited a very large diamond known as the Star of Cape Town.
Yes.
The company I represent was carrying the insurance on that stone, $150,000. They didn't like the way Forbes was flashing it around. They thought he was a bit too careless with it. I was trying to talk him into using a little common sense.
And that is why you came here to Cape Town.
Yeah, but it looks like I've struck out.
Struck
Forbes
out.
Is dead and the diamond's gone.
But you were at the party from some time before Forbes' murder until afterwards,
That's right.
You stayed in the main room the entire time?
Well, yeah. Oh, now look, Lieutenant, I'd hardly fly all the way here to bump off a guy.
Questions, Mr. Dollar, just questions.
Yeah, but what I need right now is answers.
As do I. These other guests at Forbes' party, did you know any of them?
No. Well, I met a girlfriend of his named Sheila, and a couple other people were pointed out to me.
Who were they?
Oh, Forbes' older sister, Agatha, for one. A real aristocratic type. You can cross her off your list.
Oh?
Yeah, she disapproved of Forbes, all right, but not to the extent of sticking a knife in him, I'm pretty sure. It would have been beneath her dignity, if nothing else. Besides, she didn't leave the main room during the party either. Then there was Helen.
Helen who?
Well, I never did find out her last name. She arrived at the party late, and Forbes seemed to zero in on her right away.
Zero in?
I mean, he spent the rest of the evening with her. They danced for a while, then they went out on the terrace and... Come to think of it, I never did see her come back inside. And I didn't see Forbes again either until I went to his room and found him dead.
I see. We shall try to find this Helen. Can you describe her?
Well, I didn't get nearly as close a look as I'd have liked to.
Oh?
Yeah, from what I could see, a real doll, Lieutenant. Dark hair, turn-up nose, fine complexion.
Mr. Dollar, we need an objective description, not an appreciation.
Well, at the time, I was more interested in her as a prospect than a suspect.
I see. And you say you knew none of the other guests.
That's right.
We've been unable to find any sort of guest list.
Oh, don't waste your time looking. There isn't any.
No?
Yeah, Forbes explained that he had a charming habit of inviting whoever he ran into. He said that half of the fun was in seeing who turned up.
Well, that rather complicates matters, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Mr. Dollar, diamond thefts are not unknown to us here in Cape Town.
No, I imagine not.
Here are some photos of known jewel thieves.
Mugshots, huh?
Please see if you'll recognize any of these people as having been at the party.
It'd be a little hard to remember. You know, people were drifting in and out all evening, and it was... Wait a minute. Who's this guy?
That is Julio Biak, a jewel thief. Do you recognize him?
Starkey guy. Sort of looks familiar, but I can't seem to place him.
Could he have been at the party?
Oh, it's possible, but I can't be sure.
Perhaps it will come to you later.
I hope something comes to me sooner or later. That diamond, for instance. But at this point, I had to admit it didn't look very likely. One murder, 60 suspects. You'd get better odds than that on a roulette wheel. I left headquarters and decided to walk around a little, see if I could coax up some kind of ideas to my next step. I went down to the waterfront and looked around. Nice view, no ideas. Then, as I was walking along a narrow, deserted street, I realized I had company. The shadow from the top of the building next to me ran along the middle of the street, and I could see a silhouette. I stopped. So did the shadow on top of the building. I started up again. So did the shadow. I started edging out away from the sidewalk for a look. The shadow raised its arm suddenly, and I ducked. A large building tile crashed to the sidewalk right where I'd been a second ago. I jumped for a rickety fire escape over my head and scrambled up to the roof. Nobody in sight. That roof stretching out in all directions. Warehouses, loading sheds. Whoever it was could have been a block away by now. Pretty ironic. Somebody trying to take me out of the ball game when I didn't even know which team had the ball. Back to my hotel room. Two steps inside, I stopped cold. I'd caught a whiff of what smelled like a pretty expensive perfume. It certainly wasn't my shaving lotion.
Hello, Johnny.
Wow. Sheila. Yeah. Yeah, I remember now. You were wearing that perfume at the party last night.
I've been waiting for you. Let's talk.
Any particular subject?
Last night. What happened,
oh,
Johnny?
Give me that. You were there, too. You remember.
I left before it happened.
I think.
What do you mean, you think?
I guess I had a few too many last night. I don't remember some of it.
No? You were making pretty good sense when I was talking to you.
Well, after that, I mean.
And you were with it enough to react when Forbes and Helen went out on the terrace together.
Don't, Johnny. Did you do it?
Oh, well, now that's a switch.
I'm not kidding, Johnny. You went to his room.
There's only one way you'd know that, Sheila. You were outside somewhere watching.
Yes. After I left, I went around and back.
And?
Pretty soon, Helen came out of his room. She was carrying something.
Oh, what?
Don't worry, it wasn't the diamond. I was close enough to see it. Even if I hadn't been, I guess I'd have known.
What do you mean?
It was a small bottle of perfume. That was always the first step. Perfume. And always the same kind.
That kind you're wearing.
Yes. It's got a great name. Forever.
What happened then?
I walked around the garden a few minutes, trying to decide whether to have it out with Andy once and for all. I started back toward the terrace, then I saw you heading for his room, so I left. I said, don't, Johnny. If I'd done it, would I have told you I was out in the garden?
You would if you were afraid somebody'd seen you there and would tell me about it.
Oh? And I suppose you figured out a motive for me, too. A
couple of possibilities. You told me you'd been on a merry-go-round with Forbes for a long time. Maybe you couldn't stand the thought of anyone else getting aboard.
Helen? That sort of thing's happened before, Johnny.
Or maybe you figured the only way to get off that merry-go-round was to get rid of the guy who ran it.
And the diamond.
That could buy you a lot of rides somewhere else.
And I thought I was the cynic. You really have a nice opinion of people, haven't you?
I'm afraid most of the people I get myself involved with on these jobs aren't very nice, you know.
I didn't do it.
All right, if you didn't, I'm sure Lieutenant Van Tile will find out.
I know. I'm on my way there now.
Oh?
He phoned me an hour ago. I thought I'd stop by and talk to you before I went. Johnny, you don't really think I could do a thing like that, do you?
I guess not, Sheila. One thing I am interested in, though.
What's that?
You're finally off the merry-go-round. How does it feel?
It isn't real. That merry-go-round was all I ever knew.
She walked out of the room looking, well, empty is the best word I can think of. And I kept wondering what she'd been like before the merry-go-round. The rest of the day I spent composing soothing cablegrams in reply to angry ones from McNabb of Tri-Eastern Indemnity. The inquest was the following morning, but the verdict was no help. Death at the hands of person or persons unknown. Lieutenant Van Tile told me that Forbes' sister Agatha had decided to shove off that afternoon on the Southern Empress. So I went down to the dock and aboard ship an hour before sailing, hoping I could get in a word with her. Farewell parties were clogging the lounges and the passageways. I waited outside Agatha Forbes' stateroom until she arrived. Miss Forbes?
What? Oh, Mr. Dollar, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't have a chance to meet you at your brother's party last night.
He told me about you. It's too bad you weren't able to persuade him to put that diamond into safety sooner.
Miss Forbes, I wonder if you'd answer a few questions
about... I'm very sorry, Mr. Dollar. I'm completely exhausted. I don't wish to talk about it.
But there are certain...
I made my statement to the police. There's nothing further to add.
About the diamond, however...
There's been too much publicity about the entire tragedy as it is. I have no wish to add to it. I'm very sorry, Mr. Dollar. I shall be in New York in a month or so. Perhaps I shall have recovered from the experience sufficiently by then to talk about it intelligently.
Only trouble is, by then the diamond could be in Timbuktu. See you later, Miss Forbes. What snapped me into action was a glimpse of a girl at the end of the passageway just entering the lounge. I couldn't be sure, but it looked like Helen. By the time I reached the lounge, she was nowhere in sight. Then I saw another familiar face over in one corner. The mugshot I'd seen at police headquarters, Julio Biak, jewel thief. And now I had him pegged. He'd been the stocky bartender at Forbes' party, the guy who disappeared just before the murder. He spotted me and ducked into a passageway. I went after him. He turned a corner, and that was his mistake, blind alley. So I closed in on him. We circled. Now, I was at the blind end, and that was my mistake, because suddenly there was a knife in his hand. He held it low like an expert.
Now, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, you must have a trunk full of knives, Julio.
Oh, I need this one.
Just like the one you slipped into Forbes, huh?
And you...
He lunged at me. I ducked to one side and kicked at the knife. He whirled and dove, but now I had it.
I'm glad you had him sent ashore and locked up, Mr. Dollar. It may be you have found our killer.
But not the diamond, Lieutenant.
It was not on him, eh?
Nowhere. And that can mean just one thing. Either Julio is working with somebody who's sailing on the Southern Empress, or he's after somebody aboard who has the diamond.
In that case, Mr. Dollar...
In that case, the Southern Empress is going to have another passenger, me. I checked with the purser who agreed to squeeze me aboard. Then I headed back to my hotel room to pick up my luggage. I could still smell Sheila's perfume in the room. Then as I bent over to lock my suitcase, I spotted a movement out of the corner of my eye. I tried to whirl, but too late. Something hard connected to the back of my left ear and I went down. And out. I don't know how long it was before I came to. The room was swimming, but I managed to get to the window and looked out. Then I realized somebody had voted me the man they'd least like to take a cruise with. The Southern Empress was underway and steaming out of the harbor.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, I take a trip, all right. A one-way trip. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Wright. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
July 17th, 1956, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar here on Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. If you miss a day here, you don't have to miss a single show. You can hear our shows on demand at classicradio.stream. Stream our shows on demand. Learn more about Classic Radio Collecting. You can contact me there. Find all of our social media links. You can even buy me a coffee if you like our shows. And tell all your friends the great radio shows are here at this spot on the dial. Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox on your favorite radio station.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.